We have been using the amazing lectures of Rabbi Beryl Wein as the centerpiece of our 9 days programming. Information about his amazing presentations, History and Beyond. 1-800-499-WEIN, 1-800-499-WEIN, or RabbiWein.com, RabbiWEIN.com. We have been gaining tremendously from the insight that he has into so many things, and we've been concentrating this week on the series that he released a while back entitled Jewish Values, and topics like pleasantness and peace and family and Torah scholarship have all been included in the Jewish Values series from the Destiny Foundation. We start now and hope to play in its entirety this morning the Jewish Value lecture entitled The Land of Israel here at JM in the AM.
Tonight's topic deals with Eretz Yisrael as a value. Now, and I'm talking as a political statement or as an idea of Jewish nationalism, but as a religious value, because this entire series deals with values and the value of Eretz Yisrael as an idea. Is one of the most supreme values in all of Torah and all of the Jewish people. I read an article before Yom Yerushalayim written by the chief rabbi of Haifa, Rav Shor Yashuv Cohen, who the thrust of the article was a remembrance of his experiences in Yerushalayim. He was captured in the 1948 war. He spent 9 months in the Jordanian prison camp, lost part of his leg. And he writes about his experiences regarding Yerushalayim over the past 57 years. But one of the things that he pointed out is, and he said it very clearly, he said that Medinat Yisrael, the state of Israel, is meant to be a conduit, is meant to be a means to achieve Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And in other words, that the state and our nationalism and everything that we have accomplished, that's not the end, that's only the means. And the means, he quotes naturally from his father, the Nazir, and from Rav Kook, that the physical rebuilding of the Jewish people is a necessary prerequisite for the spiritual rebuilding of the Jewish people. But it is not the end. The end is that spiritual rebuilding. As he calls it, it's the rebuilding of Eretz Israel and not just of Medinas Israel. So we speak about Eretz Israel here as a value, as one of the ideas that has been constant throughout Jewish history. And it's been constant. It's interesting whether the Jewish people were here in the land of Israel or whether they were in the diaspora, in the exile. Because we see in the Nevi'im, always speak about how does Eretz Yisrael react to the behavior of the people who live there. As though Eretz Yisrael is a living thing. It's not a passive piece of land, but it's a living organism. And this living organism reacts to what happens on it, around it, through it. And that's the value. That's the idea of what Eretz Yisrael represents. Now, the Jewish people spent most of their history outside the land of Israel. We're a people that are over 3,300 years old from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and most of the time we have not been here. And whenever we have been here, it has not been sweetness and light. There were periods, good periods, the period of David HaMelech, the period of Shlomo HaMelech, 80 years. it started to fall apart. In the time of the Second Temple, the period of the Hashmonaim, so the first 100 years was a good time, and then it fell apart. And it's been a difficult, difficult situation always regarding living in the land of Israel. And the reason for that is because we are trying to translate a spiritual value into an everyday life, into a state that has to function, into all of the problems of everyday living. It's much easier to deal with it as an imaginary thing, because then you never have any disappointments, and you don't have to worry about it, and you don't have to collect taxes, and you don't have the whole problem. But how do we make it work practically? That is a major challenge, and that challenge has faced the Jewish people every time they've been here in the land of Israel. So we find that during the time of Yoshua and the Shoftim, the Jewish people still were afraid of Yoshua because they still were afraid of Moshe. Moshe had such a lasting influence upon them that as long as Yoshua was here, they still thought that Moshe was here. But when Yoshua died, so then Vayhi bimei Shvot HaShoftim, we read now in the Megillah of Ruth, Shvot HaShoftim, Rashi says, the judges were judged. The Jewish people said, in effect, Miata, who are you to tell me to do anything? Isha Yoshua Beinov Yaseh. Everybody did whatever they wanted to. It was the ultimate pluralistic society. Do whatever you want. So then it's chaos. Falls apart. So then God has to remind them that they're Jews, right? So he sends the Plishtim, he sends the Amalekim, he sends the Canaanim. All sorts of problems. And it takes time until David HaMelech comes on the scene that the situation somehow becomes ameliorated. Now it becomes livable. And during the last years of David, the last 20 years of David, and the first 25, 30 years of Shlomo HaMelech, so then it is finally what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. And they build the temple, and everything is wonderful. But people, especially the Jewish people, cannot stand prosperity. They cannot stand that everything should be wonderful, so they have to make it not so wonderful. And Shlomo wanders away, and then there's a rebellion, and Yoram ben Nevot, and then they split into two kingdoms, and then they become idolaters and pagans, and that's the story. So because of that, Eretz Yisrael is the most sensitive topic to discuss. And I hesitated to put it down on the sheet as one of the values to discuss, because I'm well aware that whatever one says can unfortunately be subject to misinterpretation, and also because it's so sensitive, because we're living here and we're part of it, and therefore we feel it perhaps differently than in the theory of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Gimel Matonos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael. God gave us three gifts. V'lo Nosnon Ela BeYisurim. And all three come with great pain. The three gifts are Torah. If you want to be a Talmid Chacham, if you want to study Torah, then it's sacrifice, it's Yisurim, it's giving up hours and time. If you're going to be a great Talmid Chacham, so then it requires an enormous amount of concentration, willpower. It's Yisurim. It's not easy. Anyone who has ever opened the Daf Gemara and looked at it, is the page itself is sufficient to dissuade you from going further. The three different fonts on the page, it's written in a language that very difficult for us. We don't speak Aramaic anymore. And then you have Rashi on one side and Tosfos on the other side, and then you have the Rosh in the back, and nobody agrees on anything with it. It's Biyusurim. If you want to accomplish something, then you have to pay for it. The second thing the Gemara says is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael comes Biyusurim. It's a matona. So look at the language of the Talmud. The language of the Talmud is that it's a gift. Meaning we're not entitled. The language of Matona is always that you're not entitled. It's a gift. There are certain things in life that we think we're entitled to. But there, the Talmud, when it says Matona, so you're not entitled to be a Talmud Chochem, you have to earn it. You're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael, you have to earn it. How do you earn it? Be Yisurin, right? And we can all testify what that means. The Jewish people for over the past 100 years here in Eretz Yisrael, every day is Yisurim, every day is problems, every day is blood, every day is all of the difficulties that we're so well aware of, and the greatest Yisurim is that you don't see any way out of it. That's, you know, as long as you see a way out of it, then people almost are happy to absorb the Yisurim. But Yisurim on end, with no way out, so that already is a different level of pain. And the third gift, the Gemara says, is Olam Haba, eternity, immortality. So you only gain that also through sacrifice. You only gain that also through willing to undergo sacrifice and pain. So because of that, we have this great concept that Eretz Yisrael has to be earned. Now you have another concept that God promised it to us. He told us from the beginning, He told Avraham Avinu, Ki lecho lezaracho etneno, I'm giving you this land, it's going to be yours. He told it to Yitzchak, He told it to Yaakov, He's told it to us from the beginning of time. This is your land, I'm giving it to you. The only thing is that when it comes to the bottom line, it's not our land. Avraham Avinu wants to bury his wife Sarah, so he has to buy the Maris HaMachpelah from the Bnei Ches, from Ephron, for an enormous amount of money. The Rashi there quotes the Medrash that says Avraham, the greatness of Avraham was that he didn't say to God, but you promised me, you said it's my land. What do you mean I got to pay him 400 shekel over La Socher, the best mint coins? You promised it to me. And Yitzchak digs wells all over the country, and all the wells the Philistines take over, they stop them up, they throw them out. And Yitzchak does not say, but you promised me that the land is mine. And Yaakov Avinu, when he comes back from Lavan, so he has to buy the land by Shechem. And he doesn't say again, you know, God, you promised me. You told me it would be mine. So that's part of the definition of Yisurin. Yisurin is when you have to buy and sacrifice for what is yours. What belongs to you already. You have to start all over again. Which is in essence what happened to the Jewish people over the last 100 years. Whether it be through the Keren Kayemet or through private funds or whatever, or purchase, you have to buy it all over again. Because of the fact that that's Eretz Yisrael, Niknis B'Yisurin. So we have to be prepared for that. We have to realize that on one hand it's ours, it was promised to us by God, and God's promises are valid. God's contract has never defaulted. And on the other hand, we have to earn it, we have to buy it, we have to fight for it, we have to bleed for it. It's not ours. And that balance, that contradiction almost, lies at the heart of the Yisurin of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Talmud has very, the Talmud is very, very pro Eretz Yisrael. Let's put it that way. The Talmud has almost a hidden anger, and this is the Babylonian Talmud, let alone the Yerushalmi, the Talmud that was written in Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud has almost a hidden anger at people that don't come to Eretz Yisrael when they have an opportunity to do so. When the Jewish world had an opportunity to do so. The Gemara says, for instance, by Ezra, that at the time of Ezra, most of the Jews stayed in Bavel. They didn't come back. The Talmud says, "Ilu olu kachoma." If they would have come up in waves, if they would have come home, then the second temple would have had all of the spiritual glory and miracles that the first temple had. But because the Jews didn't want it, so God says, "Okay, so you don't want it. I don't want it either." They didn't come back. And throughout the history of the second temple, there were tremendous Jewish communities all over the Mediterranean basin, in Rome, in Greece, in Babel, in Egypt, in Alexandria. And the rabbis always held that against them. And therefore the rabbi said, for instance, "B'machashakim hoshivani Hashem, the Lord has made me dwell in darkness, Zu Talmudo shel Bavel." That's the Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud, which the Gemara speaks about itself, is darkness because it was composed in Bavel. And Bavel had a very, very high spiritual state. Great Talmidei Chachomim, great yeshivas, a great Jewish community. So let me just quote to you a few Gemaras. Because the Gemara says that the land itself has a holiness to it. The land itself has a holiness to it. It's called Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land. So you don't hear it so much amongst Jews, but in the non-Jewish world they still call it the Holy Land. Eretz HaKodesh, the land itself has holiness, independent of who is there, and independent of how people behave there. The land itself is holy. So the Gemara says, an interesting Gemara, Rabbi Barokia, Rabbi Lezer ben Pedos, Hoyumetailin Derech Shar Tveria. Two of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had the great yeshiva in Tveria in the 3rd century. So two of his Talmidim, Rabbi Barokia and Rabbi Lezer ben Pedos, they were taking a walk by the Yam Kinneret, by the gate to Tveria. Now, in the ancient world, in the time of the Talmud, Tveria, as today, was a great burial ground. Had large Jewish cemeteries. The great hill on which the tomb of Reb Meir Balanes perches on top, that whole hill is a cemetery. It has thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands, of graves in it. Because the cemeteries at the time of the Talmud were caves that were dug into the side of the mountain, and that because of the shortage of land, they let the body decompose for a year, and then they collected the bones and put them in an ossuary in a ceramic jar, and that jar they put in the cave, and then they had room to bury again. It was a different system than we are accustomed to. In any event, they are at the gates of Tveria, Ubo'u Aronos M'chutz Loretz, and they see they're bringing bodies from Chutz Loretz, right, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So here we have two different opinions, and the two opinions are very sharply stated. And you can hear them both today as well. They resonate in our world. Omar lo Rab Rokio maho ilu elu. Who needs them? Verdav zehom. What value are they coming now to get buried here? Bechayehem heinichu osi. When they were alive, they didn't come. They weren't interested to live in Eretz Yisrael. Ubemisosom bola. And now they come. Well, as corpses. And Ikore Aleim, I say that this pasuk refers to them. V'nachlosi samtem l'toeva, that's b'chayechem. My country, my land, the land of Israel, you treated it abominably. That was while you were alive. You didn't come. V'atovo v'atetamu esartzi, and now you have come and you have defiled my country, because a mace brings with it, tumah brings with it defilement, the misasken. So he's not very happy. You didn't come. He said, who needs you now? Omar lo Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Pados said to him, no, you're wrong. Lohi. It's not correct. Kiven Shehem Nikborim Beretz Yisrael. Since they will be buried in the land of Israel, v'niten lahem gush ofor shel Eretz Yisrael, and they will have the dust, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael will cover their bodies, mechaperes, it brings forgiveness to them. It says, v'chiper admoso amo, Moshe Rabbeinu said, the land of Israel is a kapora for the people. And therefore, if they come even to be buried, so then the holiness of the land is such that that fact that they're buried here is alone sufficient to bring forgiveness for all their sins. Now, we realize that throughout the ages, the Jews desired to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And they came, their bodies were brought from far distant countries in order to be able to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the few permissible times when a body can be exhumed and reburied is when the body is taken from outside Eretz Yisrael to be reburied in the land of Israel. That's because the land itself is holy. And therefore, the holy soil of the land brings a kapora for the person, even if the person did not come during his or her lifetime. And because of that, there was a custom, there still is the custom throughout the Jewish world, that even a Jew that passes away in the exile and is buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, But in the grave, earth from Eretz Yisrael is always placed there. Because the earth of Eretz Yisrael is v'chiper admoso amo, and that's what he said, gush ofor Eretz Yisrael, a piece of the dust of the dirt of Eretz Yisrael is sufficient to bring a kapora for a person. So we see that one of the values of Eretz Yisrael is that it is holy. And the rule in Jewish law is kol ha-mechubor le-tahara tohor. If you are attached to purity, to holiness, then you become somewhat holy. It's an osmosis effect. It seeps into you, whether you want it or not. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael has that value that for the Jewish people it brings holiness to us. And it's one of the mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs. The Bali Musar said there are two mitzvahs that a Jew can. The word in Lithuania was that he can walk in with his boots. One is in the sukkah, right? You go into the sukkah, so you have the mitzvah. And one is Eretz Yisrael. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you walk in, you're here. That's the mitzvah. So that's the only. Those are the only mitzvahs that, so to speak. You know, you can do with your boots on. You just walk in. You don't. It doesn't require any great thought on your part as much as it requires just your presence in a certain place. Second idea regarding Eretz Yisrael: Esalech lifnei Hashem be'artzo sachayim. I want to walk in front of God in the land of the living. So the Gemara says, "Artzo sachayim ze Eretz Yisrael." Eretz Yisrael is the land of the living. And the Gemara says that Tchiyas Hameisim begins in Eretz Yisrael. Well, we have that concept that's called Gilgul Mechilos, that when the dead are resurrected, so there will be tunnels that will exist that will be able that the Jews who are buried outside Eretz Yisrael will be able to roll to Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael is where Tchiyas HaMeisim will be. By tradition, Tchiyas HaMeisim will begin on the Mount of Olives, on Har HaZeisim. And that's why Har HaZeisim became the original famous Jewish cemetery in the world. And that's why the Chevra Kedisha charges more money there than in other places. And you know that Jews like to be first in line, right? So it's going to happen, so you might as well be there. But that's the same concept, that there's a holiness to the land itself. And the holiness is that it's Eretz Achayim, it's you're alive. Even if the person is physically not alive. But being in Eretz Yisrael, because of Echiper Admoso Amo, then he is considered to be alive. And the Gemara says, Tzadikim v'misosam nikroim chayim. Righteous people, even if they have passed from the world, are still called living people. And Rishoyim b'chayim, evil people, even if they're still walking around on the earth, nikroim mesim, they're dead already. The definition of life and death is not necessarily whether a person is breathing. It has to do with our soul. It has to do with our eternity. It has to do with our memory. It has to do with what people think of us, what generations think of us. And therefore, the definition of Chayim and Mesim is different. So the Gemara therefore says, Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael mitzvah bifnei atzma. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah all by itself. So just being here is a mitzvah. You accomplish a mitzvah daily by being here. Not only that, the Gemara says that kol ha-mahalech dalet amos b'Eretz Yisrael, if you walk four amos in Eretz Yisrael, every four amos you walk, you have a mitzvah. I knew a great Jew, Elio Kitov, Monkotovsky. He had Elio Kitov wrote the Sefer HaParshias and the Sefer HaTodah. He was a remarkable person. I remember he came to Chicago. I was 15 years old. He came to Chicago and he spoke. He was a gifted orator, just a tremendous orator. The old time Polish orators that could speak for 2 hours and it was like 5 minutes. And he was a tremendously charismatic, wonderful person. And then I got to know him again in Miami, and then here in Eretz Yisrael before he passed away, I saw him a few times. So he told me a story once that a rabbi came from the United States, and he was visiting him, and he started complaining about how things are here, which is not hard to do. Especially if you come from the outside, so then, you know. So if you read the newspaper here, you know, you're depressed every day. Except for an occasional column, but otherwise... otherwise, it's very depressing, right? So he was telling Monkotovsky everything that's wrong. So Monkotovsky took him by the hand, Elio Kitov, he took him by the hand, and he took him outside the door of his apartment, and he said, come, we're going to take a walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, a mitzvah. 1, 2, 3, 4, a mitzvah. He made him walk 4 amos every time. He says, a mitzvah. He said, oh, that's how you have to look at Eretz Yisrael. Don't tell me what the... So it's a confusion, and I think that's an important point. He should not confuse the government, the policies, the national structure of the state of Israel with Eretz Yisrael. It's two different things. And because we confuse the two, so unfortunately there are Jews that don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael because they don't like the government. Or they don't like the way Jews behave. Or they see always the shadows instead of the light. But you're not allowed to see Eretz Yisrael that way. It was the whole lesson with the Meraglim that Moshe sent the spies. Everything they said was true. But then they added one thing. They said, but the land is no good. That sealed their doom. That you could say there are giants in the land. You can say it will be hard to conquer it. You can say there are great fortresses. You can say the United Nations is against us. You can say everything. That's all true. But you can't say anything about Eretz Yisrael. Motzi dibosom ro. They said bad things about the land. Eretz Ocheles Yoshvei, they said. It's a land that destroys its people. Oh no, God said, no, no, no. There you cross the red line. Can't talk about Eretz Yisrael. You have to always talk Bishvacho Shel Eretz Yisrael. You always have to talk about what the greatness of it. And the other things you can say, there's no problem in saying that there are giants in the land, that it's going to be hard and it's going to be this, and the Kanani are here and the Prezi are here, and all of that was true. They were not punished for saying that. That was their job, to come back and give the report. But their conclusion of saying Eretz Ocheles Yoshvei, that it's a country that destroys people. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Not that. That God didn't allow. And so that's a basic rule. So again, you know, you can disagree with the government, and they give you plenty of reason to do so. And you can disagree with policies, and you disagree, but you cannot disagree with Eretz Yisrael. Because that's an overriding value. It's such an overriding value that Chazal say, Gimel Menocha Le Olam Abo. You want to have a fast-tracked Olam Abo? You know, like in the computer now, if 4 seconds is too long for you to wait till you get on the internet, so they have like a streaming broadband that's always on, and you're there in a second, right? You mean the shortcut. So what's the shortcut to Olam Abo? So the Gemara says, Zador v'Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, that's a shortcut to Olam Abo. So the rabbi saw it as such an overriding value that it can take you to Olam Abo. Just being in Eretz Yisrael can take you to Olam Abo. And the Gemara said that you have to treat Eretz Yisrael with respect. The land, again. Gemara says, Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to grow sheep, goats in Eretz Yisrael because they eat up all the grass, they destroy the country. So they had to have special reservations for them in places, mostly in the deserts. There's zoning laws that the Gemara is full of regarding Eretz Yisrael, and especially regarding Yerushalayim. You can't have smoke in the city, and you can't have manufacturing. Because the place is holy. You have to treat it holy. And if it's holy, you can't do everything you want. It has restrictions with it. The Gemara says, why does it rain in the world? How the Gemara talks. Why does it rain in the world? So the Gemara says, because Eretz Yisrael needs rain. Since Eretz Yisrael needs rain, so it rains in Ireland too. But if Eretz Yisrael wouldn't need rain, and that's what it says, that Lo Keretz Mitzrayim, you're going to bring it to a place that's not like the land of Egypt where it never has to rain because they have the Nile River and they can irrigate everything. I'm bringing it to a place that's dry. That's desert. And you have to hope that it rains. And therefore, since Eretz Yisrael needs rain, so the whole world is blessed with rain. And that's why when we say Geshem and Tau, the prayers, so the prayers are for Eretz Yisrael, even if we are living in different places and different climes, and because of the fact that every place is blessed because of Eretz Yisrael. The Rosh was asked when he was the Rav in Toledo in the 1300s, the early 1300s, why in Spain, in Toledo, which has plenty of rain, why should they say Talumota or Mashiv Ruach Murad Hageshem? Because it really doesn't affect them. And the Rosh answered, we don't say it for Toledo, we don't say it for Spain, we say it for Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael will be blessed, then every place will be blessed. And if Eretz Yisrael is, God forbid, not blessed, so then the things aren't blessed the other places either. That is how Chazal saw Eretz Yisrael. They saw it as the focus of all blessings. The country itself. And one of the signs that the rabbi said of the impending redemption of the land of the Jewish people, rather, is when the land of Israel begins to produce. When you see the fruit market full of every imaginable type of fruit and vegetable, something which was unheard of even 30 years ago, 25 years ago in the country. And today we take it for granted. You know, and we're disappointed, you know, that blueberries are out of season. But Chazal saw in every piece of fruit and every vegetable that grew in the land of Israel, they saw holiness. Because that is the idea of mitzvos atluyos voretz, of the mitzvahs that are dependent upon growing in Eretz Yisrael. The rabbis say, why did Moshe make such a fuss that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael? V'eschanan el Hashem ba'isai lemor, and I prayed to God, the Gemara says 900 times, and until God said, you know, send the nudnik away, stop. I don't want to hear anymore. Look, Al Tosef Daver Eli Ob Badover Azeh, don't talk about it anymore. So the Chazal says, so what did Moshe want? What is Moshe missing? Moshe is going all the Mabah, Moshe has the Torah, Moshe is intimate, so to speak, with God himself. So what does he need? So the Gemara says he needs the mitzvahs of Tliyas Boretz. He needs to eat an apple that doesn't have orla, kilayim, that has meiser, that has truma. That's what he needs. So we take it for granted, right? By us, an apple is an apple is an apple. But Jews always saw in it more than the apple. They always saw in it, it's a holiness, because it's sanctified. It's sanctified with so many mitzvahs. And Chazal even goes so far as to say that all the mitzvahs that are performed outside the land of Israel, tefillin, kriyashma, tefillah, all of the mitzvahs that Jews do the world over are only to keep in training for doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. And that the real mitzvahs are only in Eretz Yisrael. So it gives us a different sense of being here. It certainly, I always have that feeling, at least on the rare times that I eat a fruit, that, you know, look at me, right? Generally, I always have the feeling, you know, Moshe couldn't do it, and I'm doing it. Moshe wasn't here, and I'm here. Right? I take it for granted. But the rabbi saw in it this great holiness, this great uniqueness, this great special feeling. Because it's Eretz Asher Inei Hashem Elokecha Bo V'Reish Rishona V'Arach Rishona. It's the holy land. It's a place where God is, so to speak. And because of that, the rabbis called it Palterin Shel Melech, the king's palace. So there are duties upon us, because if you're in the king's palace, you're supposed to behave yourself. But however that may be, it's still the king's palace. And therefore, that is the feeling, the emotion that goes with it. Now, Chazal saw in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael overriding values. They said that, for instance, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in certain instances overrides the Shabbat. The Gemara says, Mutter, it is permissible, Lokachas Botim Beretz Yisrael Minakum, on Shabbat to buy property in Eretz Yisrael from the hands of non-Jews. Because of the fact that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael takes precedence. And the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael, Domel Lemila, the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is equal to the mitzvah of circumcision. Ma mila docha Shabbos, just like the mitzvah of mila is docha Shabbos, and if the child is born on Shabbat and his brit is on Shabbat, that was usually the origin of the name Shabsai. There was a child that was born on Shabbat and circumcised on Shabbat, so he was a Shabbos Jew. So too, Eretz Yisrael Docha Shabbat. Eretz Yisrael also, certain instances, is also Docha de Shabbat. And therefore we have this great quality simply because of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara says even more radical statements. The Gemara wouldn't say it, I certainly wouldn't say it. Certainly not on television. But it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lo olam yidor odom beretz Yisrael afilu bir sheruba nochrim." A Jew should live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city, in a community that is mainly non-Jewish. Ve'al yidor b'chutz loretz afilu bir sheruba Yisrael. Rather than living in chutz loretz, in a city that is very Jewish. Shekol ador beretz Yisrael dome kemishi yesh lo Eloha. Anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael sooner or later comes to the realization that there's a God in the world. V'chol ador v'chutz loretz kemishi yesh lo Eloha. And in chutz loretz, after a while, God takes a very secondary position. Now, that's a very strong statement. If we would apply it today, we could say it without mentioning names of communities, but we all know, you know, that there are holy Jewish communities throughout the world. And here in Israel, there are places where, you know, it's not so hot. It's not so great. But the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is such an overriding value. Living in Eretz Yisrael is such an overriding value that it overrides that too. The Gemara says, "Kol ador beretz Yisrael, shorui below ovam." Someone who lives in Eretz Yisrael is as though he lives without sin. So the Mefarshim explained, because the Yisurim of Eretz Yisrael are such a nature that our sins are forgiven daily. If you think about it, every day something happens, right? You listen to the news. I don't know anybody that walks away from the news happy. So that instant of pain when you hear the stupidities that go on and the problems, right? So that instant is a kapora already, because one of the facets of Eretz Yisrael is that it's mechaper, and since it's niknis b'yisurim, so therefore the sins are more easily erased. So there was always an eternal covenant between the Jewish people and the land of Israel, whoever the Jews were. The Jews always, they named their streets after the land of Israel. You know, I went once through Provence, every little town where Jews once were, Lunel and Montpellier and Arles and Orange and Posquiers, all the towns where the Chachmei Provence lived. So there are no Jews left. All the Jews are gone. Even a Jewish cemetery left. It's nothing. But in all of them, in the medieval part of the town that is preserved, there is a street called Rue Jerusalem. And Jews always remembered it, wherever they went. And Nachman of Breslov said, "Every step that I take is towards Jerusalem." That was the covenant that Jews had. And even though for centuries on end they had no chance to physically achieve it, but mentally in their minds they achieved it. Spiritually they achieved it. They were home. Therefore, even in the darkest places of Eastern Europe and in the mellahs of Morocco, Jews were attached to Eretz Yisrael. And they were attached to Eretz Yisrael because of the fact that it was a value. It was not a matter of Jewish nationalism. It was a matter of a spiritual value that held a place in their heart and soul. And that's part of the problem. What happened over 100 years ago with the coming of secular Zionism is that secular Zionism replaced the value of Eretz Yisrael, and it replaced it with the value of Jewish nationalism, of being a nation. To a certain extent, Kechol HaGoyim Beis Yisrael. We're going to be like everybody else. We have our own country, and our own flag, and our own army, and our own anthem, and we'll be like everyone else. And it's no surprise, therefore, that in 1904, when England offered Uganda to Herzl, he took it. Because he wasn't sold on Eretz Yisrael, he was sold on the fact that the Jews need a national home, they need a place of refuge, and that national home, a place of refuge, could be Uganda, right? It's just too bad that America didn't offer San Diego. And the Zionist Congress approved the Ugandan plan. Fell apart because evidently God was not interested in Uganda. And it's interesting that the Eastern European Jews, led by Weizmann, were the main opponents of this idea, because the Eastern European Jew, even when he was secularized, still was attached to Eretz Yisrael. Even if he was a believer in Jewish nationalism, even if he was a believer in socialism and in all of the other things that rode the horse of Zionism, labor Zionism, all of the things, all of the isms, but they still were attached to Eretz Yisrael. And in being attached to Eretz Yisrael, they were not willing to take Uganda. And that was the whole discussion throughout all of the 20th century. And now that we live in a post-Zionist, modernist period, so we're back again that Eretz Yisrael is not the value anymore. There are other values. But that Eretz Yisrael should be a value, that no longer resonates. That's part of the damage of secularism. It's not that people don't put on film. It's not that people are not Sabbath observers. That's not the issue. And those who think it's the issue only see it in tunnel vision, in a very narrow sense. It's that the whole view of the Jewish people, the whole history of the Jewish people, the whole goal, the whole etgar, the whole challenge of the Jewish people is different. Because now it's no, why should we now? We want to be Venezuela. We really want to be Canada, but Canada is big, so we'll settle for being Venezuela. But that's not Eretz Yisrael. And that vision and that way of viewing it is really the casualty of a century of secularism. That's the main problem with secularism. And it reflects itself in 100 different issues. But that's the main situation that exists. So the Gemara gives us an example of Eretz Yisrael again. The Gemara says, Maaseh Reb Yehuda ben Bobov, Reb Matisyo ben Chorosh, Reb Chanina ben Achi. These three great Rabbonim, Tanoim, lived after the Hadrianic persecutions, when all the rabbis of Yehuda ben Bava will eventually be martyred by the Romans. And the Eretz Yisrael is falling apart. The Romans are running it. The Jews are being persecuted. The yeshivas find it hard to maintain themselves. It's not a happy time for the Jewish people. It's about the year 150 of the Common Era, 140 of the Common Era. So they they're leaving. They're yordim. They're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they have justifications for it. When you're talking about three of the great Tanoim, Higiyu Liflatus, so they came to the city of Philetus, which is on the border of Israel and Syria. Vizochru es Eretz Yisrael, and they remembered that they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. They saw the sign, Mokshim Lefonecha, the border, Gvul Lefonecha, the borders ahead of you. Had to get their passport ready to cross. They remembered that they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. It'll be like everyone else. And it's no surprise, therefore, that in 1904, when England offered Uganda to Herzl, he took it. Because he wasn't sold on Eretz Yisrael, he was sold on the fact that the Jews need a national home. They need a place of refuge. And that national home, a place of refuge, could be Uganda, right? It's just too bad that America didn't offer San Diego. And the Zionist Congress approved the Ugandan plan. Fell apart because evidently God was not interested in Uganda. And it's interesting that the Eastern European Jews, led by Weizmann, were the main opponents of this idea, because the Eastern European Jew, even when he was secularized, still was attached to Eretz Yisrael. Even if he was a believer in Jewish nationalism, even if he was a believer in and in socialism and in all of the other things that rode the horse of Zionism, labor Zionism, all of the things, all of the isms, but they still were attached to Eretz Yisrael. And in being attached to Eretz Yisrael, they were not willing to take Uganda. And that was the whole discussion throughout all of the 20th century. And now that we live in a post-Zionist, modernist period, so we're back again that Eretz Yisrael is not the value anymore. There are other values. But that Eretz Yisrael should be a value, that no longer resonates. That's part of the damage of secularism. It's not that people don't put on film. It's not that people are not Sabbath observers. That's not the issue. And those who think it's the issue only see it in tunnel vision, in a very narrow sense. It's that the whole view of the Jewish people, the whole history of the Jewish people, the whole goal, the whole etgar, the whole challenge of the Jewish people is different. Because now it's no, why should we, now that we want to be Venezuela? We really want to be Canada, but Canada is big, so we'll settle for being Venezuela. But that's not Eretz Yisrael. And that vision, and that way of viewing it, is really the casualty of a century of secularism. That's the main problem with secularism. And it reflects itself in 100 different issues. But that's the main situation that exists. So the Gemara gives us an example of Eretz Yisrael again. The Gemara says, Maaseh Reb Yehuda ben Bovov, Reb Matisyo ben Chorosh, Reb Chanino ben Achi. These three great Rabbonim, Tanoim, lived after the Hadrianic persecutions, when all the rabbis, Reb Yehuda ben Bovov, will eventually be martyred by the Romans. And the Eretz Yisrael is falling apart. The Romans are running it. The Jews are being persecuted. The yeshivas find it hard to maintain themselves. It's not a happy time for the Jewish people. It's about the year 150 of the Common Era, 140 of the Common Era. So they hoyu yotzin luchutzlaret. So they're leaving. They're yordim. They're going to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they have justifications for it. When you're talking about three of the great Tanoim, higiyu liflatus. So they came to the city of Philatus, which is on the border of Israel and Syria. V'zochru es Eretz Yisrael, and they remembered that they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. They saw the sign Mokshim lefonecha, the border Gvul lefonecha, the borders ahead of you. Had to get their passport ready to cross. They remembered that they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. Zokfu einayim. All of a sudden, they lifted up their eyes. So the Mefarshim say, "What do you mean they lifted up their eyes?" All of a sudden, they looked into the future, and they looked into the past. V'zolgu dimoseim, and their eyes filled with tears. V'koru bigdeim, and they ripped their clothes in agony. V'yomru, and they said, Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvah shebatorah. Staying in Eretz Yisrael outweighs all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, the Gemara says. V'chozru limkoma, and they came back home. They couldn't leave. So we have halachas that it's not so simple to leave Eretz Yisrael. There has to be a very good cause. So in today's world, I don't know, in today's world, you know, you get on a plane and it's not such a big deal, and who doesn't want to see Cyprus and Croatia and other places? So, you know, it's we don't hear how that resonates either. But I know Jews here that have never left Yerushalayim in their lifetime. Never gone outside the environs of Yerushalayim. And I know Jews who've never left Eretz Yisrael. Because again, it's a value. And there are certain people who feel that value within their bones. Gemara says, "Ain Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael." So we see that also, even though there are great yeshivas all over the world, but all the Talmidei Chachamim come to learn in Eretz Yisrael, right? With the thousands of young men that come from the exile to learn in Eretz Yisrael, "Ain Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael." The variety of yeshivas, the amount of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, is just mind-boggling. Who would have imagined it, even a few short decades ago, that we would have such numbers? And such a variety. Hundreds of yeshivas. Tens of thousands of students. And the quality of Torah. So, ain Torah ketoras Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara darshans on the posuk in Eicha Bagoyim ain Torah. The Gemara says, Mikan Shah Torah of Eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah outside Eretz Yisrael, again, is only training to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara says, how come Eretz Yisrael is such a nothing? Right? If it's such a great country, then the Gemara says, Kol umo not lo kiflayim Eretz Yisrael. Every nation has vast amounts of territory. Velo rotzu Yisrael itol Eretz Yisrael shoysa ktana mikol arotzo. So the Jews said, you're giving us Eretz Yisrael, you're giving us a peanut of a land, right? And be you, what? A land that you can drive 2.5 hours, you drive the whole country, right? I once drove through Texas, 990 miles from one end to the other. It's 2 days of hard driving. It's one state. There's a ranch in Texas, Lyndon Johnson's ranch, which is bigger than New Jersey. It's bigger than Eretz Yisrael, one guy's ranch. I think Sharon is interested in it, but... And so the Jews said, well, you're giving us Eretz Yisrael, you're giving us, what are you shortchanging us? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, you don't appreciate what I'm giving you. What I give you is not measured in kilometers. It's not measured in size. It's not measured in natural resources. I'm purposely giving you this land. Because this is the land that has holiness to it. And so that has nothing to do with size. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Alavai Yehun Bonai Imi Be'eretz Yisrael Afal Pisha Matami Noso. I wish that my children would be with me here in the land of Israel, even if they defile it. So God is always more tolerant than we are. God can overlook things that we find it hard to overlook. We're not interested that people should come and be metame. Eretz Yisrael should bring dishonor to it, should not treat it as a holy place. But again, the Talmud, this is really a medrash, a yalkut. The Medrash puts, so to speak, the metaphor in God's mouth, so to speak, that I'm willing, if they want to come and live with me here, so then the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, the value of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, even if they are metameit. The Gemara says further, Afro shel Eretz Yisrael gorem l'tshuva. Again, living in Eretz Yisrael will bring a person to tshuva. We don't see it yet. You will see it. There are more today than there were 20 years ago, and there are more than were 100 years ago, and 100 years from now it'll be better. We don't appreciate the change that has occurred in the country. Because Eretz Yisrael, again, the Yisurim are gorim l'tshuva. Imagine if we had unlimited peace. We had the Rose Garden of the Middle East. People would think it's all right to marry Arabs, and Arabs would think it's all right to marry Jews, and we'd do business together, and be friends together, and it would be wonderful. But God apparently doesn't think it's so wonderful because He doesn't let it happen. And so every turn that we take leaves us up another different blind alley. So it's Gorim L'tshuva. Makes us think about being Jewish. Gemara says, "Ato mevakesh liros b'shchina b'olam hazeh." You want to see God in this world? Live in Eretz Yisrael. There you'll see Him. Because again, and we can certainly testify to it, because this whole country is one long, large miracle. Each and every day, Lulei Hashem, would not be for the Lord, who knows how anything would be able to exist or survive here. So you want to see it, so you live in Eretz Yisrael, you see it. I think all of us who are here, probably everyone here came originally from outside Eretz Yisrael, senses the difference of being here and of not being here. And even though we may long for the Alter Heim and for the comforts and for the benefits that exist, and they do exist, don't get me wrong, I never speak in denigration of what the Jews in the exile are and what they have accomplished, and perhaps even of the necessity of having Jews in the exile. Nevertheless, Eretz Yisrael is a special and different place. and it reflects the fact that it's a holy place, and it reflects the idea that the Holy One, blessed be here, is here, and that therefore in that unique quality, Eretz Yisrael is a special value, a value that many times overrides all other values because of its importance and holiness.
This concludes this lecture by
J.M. and the A.M. Indeed, the conclusion of the lecture on the Land of Israel, part of the Jewish Values series that Rabbi Wein so brilliantly is presenting for us here.